It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast, where we wrap up the week that was by talking about only things that are insane. So insane, we haven't seen them in our lifetimes, and things that could change everything. It is amazing that I can do this every week, but these are the times we live in. We'll start with insane thing number six, this insanely unfair debate, which Greg Gutfeld on Fox News called America's first DEI debate, where, because somebody's a minority, the entire debate is rigged so they can win.
This is truly the first DEI debate. Kamala confidently and casually unloaded all the hoaxes. The Fine People hoax, the bloodbath, Project 2025, the abortion ban, these things have all been debunked. Would she have done that knowing that there would be consequences? She did that knowing there would be no consequences, no follow-ups at all. This was actually a betrayal of knowledge.
Here's how absolutely outrageous this thing got. Again, they fact-checked Trump five times. By the way, two of the fact-checks were flat out inaccurate by the moderators. They fact-checked Trump five times. They didn't fact-check Kamala at all. Never mind that David Muir, one of the two debate moderators, was also the Democrat debate moderator back in 2020 when Kamala Harris promised that she would do mandatory gun buybacks with an executive order. Back then, even Joe Biden objected, saying, "You can't do that, Kamala. There's a Second Amendment." So David Muir knew when Kamala Harris said, "No, I've never suggested doing gun buybacks." He was the moderator when she suggested doing gun buyback. Yet he let her stand there and claim she'd never done that. It was too much for even some Democrats to take. Mark Penn, Democrat, regular commentator in the mainstream media, and Hillary Clinton's pollster had had enough. He wrote a whole editorial in the Wall Street Journal saying this can never happen again. Here's how Fox News described it.
The moderators, they prepared, they studied Donald Trump's all his debates and his stump speeches, and they were ready to fact check the former president.
Just the former president, yeah, not Kamala Harris. Yeah, Mark Penn wrote an article with, who's the other guy who wrote it, with Andrew Stein. And he said, as we reviewed video and we compared notes, we became concerned about the role ABC and what it did to our democracy. They said the moderators were supposed to be neutral. And they were supposed to be neutral referees, but they decided in advance to fact check Trump and not Kamala.
When Democrat Mark Penn, a longtime pollster for the Hillary Clinton campaign and advisor to the Clintons, is appalled, you know it was bad. He wrote, "We became concerned about the role of ABC News and what it did to our democracy. It was so bad." He continued, "She enlisted every charge ever leveled against Mr. Trump, regardless of the truth. That included, to name a few, the false claims that he favors a national abortion ban, opposes in vitro fertilization, and that he called neo-Nazis in Charlottesville, Virginia, very fine people, and that he threatened a bloodbath if he loses the election. Each is untrue." Had the moderators turned to Mrs. Harris after these lies and said, "This has been debunked," we might be having a totally different conversation, but they didn't, he pointed out, and said, "This never needs to happen again. We need a neutral panel of debate moderators from both sides of the aisle and different networks." Look, when a Hillary Clinton guy is saying that, you got to ask, and I have to level with you here, what was Trump thinking? And I don't know, because here's what's so insane about this. He was on a Sean Hannity town hall back on September 4th, in which he began complaining that the executive who oversees ABC News for Disney and her husband are close friends with Kamala Harris and her husband. So close, in fact, that Kamala and her husband were introduced to each other by them. they've held fundraisers for Kamala in their home. Trump even told Hannity she'll probably have the questions in advance. Why, dear God, knowing that, did you agree to it? And if you did, I mean, it was a risky move. Why didn't you prep for the debate? He clearly did it. And folks, I'm watching the poly markets today, and I'm not surprised by this. She got a bump. She did. That debate hurt him. And I don't want to report that to you, but it's the truth. He was up by as much as 3 points in the poly market. So that's the average of all the political betting markets. As of this morning, she was up by a point. They tend to be the most accurate measure of what's going on in the presidential race. They have been in past years. Now, the good news is that Trump has in the past about an average recovery time of 2 weeks when he makes a major mistake. I've never seen other candidates recover the way that he does or as quickly as he does. So we have to cross our fingers and hope he'll come back. The American people will forget, because voting starts, early voting in two of the swing states in the next 2 weeks. And that's the thing, folks, most Americans don't realize. The election's not really in November. I'll tell you why. Because in about 45 states, they're already decided. There's not going to be any surprises. That's how set this country is. This race is going to be decided in 3 to 5 swing states. That's it. And look at the dates the voting starts in those swing states. Pennsylvania, voting starts on Monday, 9/16. In Arizona, it starts on the 9th of October, just a few weeks away. In Georgia, on the 15th of October. Nevada, on the 19th. North Carolina, on the 17th of October. The election is now, and everything counts. Insane thing number five. I don't know which of actually two things to go with here. That CNN committed an actual act of journalism where a Democrat is involved, or what they reported. Holy crap. Listen to the headline. Harris pledged support in 2019 to cut ICE funding and provide transgender surgery to detained migrants. Yeah, at taxpayer expense. Folks, compared to this woman, Joe Biden really should have been wearing that MAGA hat he donned this week. He actually put on a Trump hat this week. She is so far to the left of him. I mean, this, we're talking about making every city in America Springfield, Ohio, if she does this. What it is a questionnaire that she filled out for the American Civil Liberties Union, right? Left wing. And what she pledged, whoo boy, taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for illegal immigrants and federal prisoners. But to me, that's not the most outrageous part. She expressed support, CNN wrote, for decriminalizing federal drug possession for personal use. That's all of it. Fentanyl, heroin, meth, dear God. And this, folks, this, an open-ended pledge to end immigration detention totally. Like, you mean they come over our border and we don't stop them? Nope. At all. Mm-mm. At all? No. True, absolute, total open borders. That's what that is. It was an open-ended pledge to end immigration detention totally, starting with drastic cuts in ICE funding. Who's ICE? Those are the guys who run around the country picking up the illegal immigrants, capturing them, including some of the world's most hardened criminals, gang members, rapists, murderers, you name it. And she vowed to do a 50% cut in ICE funding and to end immigration detention centers. So there's nowhere to put these immigrants. In other words, it is a double backup measure to make sure, hey, we're never going to detain them again. We don't even have anywhere to put them. This is radical, radical stuff.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
She wrote, quote, "Our immigrant detention system is out of control. I believe we must end the unfair incarceration of thousands of individuals, families, and children." She bragged, "I was one of the first senators after President Trump was elected to advocate for a decrease in funding in ICE." But understand that first line. She wants to end it entirely. And she makes that clear in this. Folks, there would be no difference between American citizens and the illegals other than that we have to pay taxes. And I guess for now we can vote. She also pledged to end completely the use of ICE detainers. What would that do? That would make the entire country a sanctuary city. Just like New York, where 3 out of 4 people now arrested for crimes in Midtown Manhattan are illegal immigrants. So there'd be nowhere to hide. Everybody lives in a sanctuary city. And she did this by, again, pledging to end the use of ICE detainers. What is that? So illegal immigrant gets arrested for crimes committed here, not for crossing the border, but for crimes committed here. And normally when they bond out, ICE is there to pick them up. That's what a detainer is for. Or if they, say, sexually abuse a child and they do their 5-year prison sentence, ICE picks them up for deportation. When they walk out the door, that wouldn't be allowed anymore. They go right back into society as if they somehow deserve to be here. Joe Biden is nowhere close to that radical. Yes, he will have let in 12 million illegal immigrants on purpose by undoing Trump's policies and unsecuring and insecuring the border since he took office. That's horrific. But he still has ICE running around picking up the worst of the worst criminals, at least in cities where that's allowed, cities that aren't Democrat sanctuary cities. Under Kamala, what she's saying here is no, they just go free. And on the free transgender surgery part, Elon Musk wrote, "The whole world will just come here for healthcare." Folks, this was so shocking. What was in this, it's called K-File, their investigative reports by CNN, that CNN's Erin Burnett was openly shocked as she learned about it for the first time on television. And she's a liberal Democrat, but she wasn't alone. The left laughing at Trump for claiming that Kamala would actually support free transgender surgeries for illegals actually ended up trending on X. That's how many people on the left tweeted about it and laughed about it after Trump said it at the debate because they assumed it was fake. That's how shockingly brainwashed the left is by its own media. That's what that shows you, that the left laughing at Trump for supposedly lying about the transgender surgeries actually trended on Twitter. That's how many of them there were. Anyway, here's Erin Burnett taking the red pill live on CNN, shocked that Kamala Harris would support this.
Gender transition surgeries for detained migrants. She also said she
supported taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for detained migrants. She actually said she supported that.
She wrote, both wrote and answered in the affirmative when she was asked this.
Oh. I mean, these are things that, you know, it would be hard to think that you would come up with taxpayer-funding gender transitions for detained migrants. And yet this, as you say, written and verbally, you know,
that she would even be shocked by that shows you how ignorant she is. She has no idea how far left these people are that she pimps herself out for every day. She hasn't bothered to do the work of finding out, and neither has most of the mainstream media. Insane thing number 4, an Associated Press poll by the Nork Center for Public Affairs Research found that a staggering 2/3 of American adults are having trouble telling what's real and what's not. You think? Given the first 2 insane things in this podcast, they're especially suspicious of anything political, right or left, that comes off AI chatbots, which is now how Google answers most of the questions. Folks, how are we going to have elections if people don't know what's real? Let me give you an example of how that happens. Last weekend, when I was prepping for the show, I was going through all the fact checks on the Tren de Aragua gang takeover of at least 3 apartment complexes in Aurora. By then, everybody from the Washington Post to USA Today had run fact checks saying it was fake, fake, fake. It was all very fake. Wow. No, it wasn't. Nope. What it actually was that the governor lied, the attorney general of Colorado lied, and the Denver Gazette, doing the only real journalism, we had to rely on a local paper to do it, actually got a hold of memos. Now, keep in mind, this is how far the left goes to create an altered perception of reality. The police chief in Aurora, good Democrat, came out and lied and said, no, there's no Tren de Aragua gang takeover of people's apartment complexes. Nah, it's not true. That a man was beaten within an inch of his life and told never to return, and that the maid delivered the message to the owner that if he ever showed up again, he'd be killed on the spot. No, that never happened, said the police chief. Well, what surfaced, what leaked, were memos of a meeting between the Aurora police, the Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI, in which they planned out, discussed, talked about what to do about the Tren de Aragua gang takeover of these apartments. In a meeting, the FBI even admitted Aurora is not the only city in Colorado where the gang has conquered territory. They're taking apartments in other cities, too. In other words, the police chief lied, the attorney general lied, and so did the governor. We know that because the desperate owner of the apartment complex had contacted all three and gone back and forth with their lawyers. When lying didn't work, and that's always the first step for the left, they were forced to actually arrest the gang members, leading to this headline. Aurora, Colorado police arrest 8 Tren de Aragua gang members who've been terrorized in the city. 2 more sought. Folks, they'd still be running around free to do whatever the hell they wanted if all of that hadn't broken. What a turnaround in just 1 week from the media fact-checking it and saying it wasn't true. No wonder Americans are confused about what reality is. Well, by Monday, it had gotten shockingly, exponentially worse as these papers leaked from the Pentagon, talking about the dangers of Tren de Aragua, over 5,000 violent gang members. The Pentagon's worried they could pose a threat to military bases and military personnel. They write in the leaked documents that you were never supposed to see, the links between Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah are strengthened by the support of the Venezuelan dictatorship. And they worried that Iran and Hezbollah, already present in the region in Venezuela for a long time, are training, advising, and financing criminal activities such as those of the Tren de Aragua gang. Even crazier, they talked about a partnership between local, state, and federal law enforcement and the military as crucial to combat them on our soil. Again, y'all, many of these are illegal immigrants. Why we have to combat them at all is something of a mystery. Load them the hell on a plane and fly them out of here. But here's part of the problem. They've been part of the secret flights into the country. And the problem with that is that we don't have diplomatic relationship with Venezuela, right? So when Kamala and Joe have sent planes to pick up tens of thousands of these Venezuelans, we know how to background check them. The government doesn't cooperate. Even if they did, we couldn't trust them. We have no idea who the hell we're taking. And they don't seem to care. And that's what was so frustrating about the debate earlier this week. All of this was right there for Trump to use. And he ended up going with, they're eating ducks, cats, and dogs. Insane thing number 2. It becomes clearer every day that if Kamala Harris wins the presidency, one of the guaranteed outcomes will be the end of the First Amendment. How many Americans will actually miss it? I don't know. Because the Annenberg Public Policy Center just did its annual poll, and they always ask people, what is in the First Amendment? 3/4 of Americans correctly identified that they had a freedom of speech. The other quarter had no freaking clue. Sadly, just 39% knew that freedom of religion is in the First Amendment. I don't know if these people actually know there's freedom of religion. Less than a third, 29%, knew there was freedom of press in the First Amendment. So you can see where the Democrats are pressing their ignorance advantage here. Americans may not know or realize at any critical level that they actually are free to speak and that the media is free to cover things people are saying. Folks, what you are watching right now is the formation of a world government based around speech censorship. They'll build on that, but this would be the first thing that they will do. The first person, ironically, really to formally propose this was Nikki Haley, who wanted to license you for using the internet. So as you can see, there are some Republicans on board with this. But Kamala Harris was very clear in 2020 talking to the NAACP. She will use the DOJ for censorship. And this censorship regime, which the U.S. would partner in, became clearer this week as more Western countries piled on to advocate for what is a exact replica of the Chinese censorship system. China has essentially a digital wall around it. If you're in China, you don't see social media in other countries. You literally can't view it. You can see government-approved social media, and they have their own, but you can't see ours. Well, that kind of digital curtain is now openly being proposed. Did you see what Australia just did? Headline, New York Post, Australia moves to fine social media companies that spread misinformation up to 5% of their global revenues. So this isn't profits, this is revenues. So if you're not making money, then you still get fined. And if you are, you won't have profits. And if you don't pay the fine, you'll get blocked. You will get blocked at the border of Australia. This is truly shocking stuff. By the way, they give you two options, this legislation right now that they have in Australia that defines what you can say. The government's already saying they're going to do it. You get two options. You can write your own censorship rules in partnership with Australian bureaucrats, or failing that, they just impose their own and you pay the fine if you don't go along with it. And again, if you don't go along with it, eventually the punishment is you get blocked at the border, identical to China. Meanwhile, the UK sent Tony Blair out to insist that free speech in the world must end for the good of young people. He was specifically talking about American social media.
But do you foresee a point in the not too distant future where other countries are going to have to follow Brazil's lead and take actual action against platform owners for the dissemination of disinformation?
The world's going to have to come together and agree some rules around social media platforms. It's not just, you know, how people can provoke, you know, hostility and hatred, but I think, and I don't know what the answer to this is, you know, and it's, I'm just saying that.
We can't carry on as we are.
And I think the impact on young people, particularly when they got access to mobile phones very young and they're reading a whole lot of stuff and receiving a whole lot of stuff that I think is really messing with their minds in a big way. And as I say, I'm not sure what the answer to it is, but I'm sure we need to find one.
By messing with young people's minds, the former prime minister obviously means that they're taking in real, true things, which is interfering with their loyalty to their globalist overlords. And that's got to be fixed. Again, over last weekend, it leaked from the Harris campaign that their choice for attorney general would be Keith Ellison. The problem with that is that in the last week, Keith Ellison thanked Brazil for shutting down X within its borders. Our State Department under Joe Biden's never said a thing about the UK wanting to arrest and extradite Elon Musk and other Americans for what they say on social media. And if that's who our attorney general is going to be, and if Kamala has been clear, as she was in 2020, that the censorship would come from the DOJ, which makes sense because it's the FBI censoring now and the FBI is the police force of the DOJ. Folks, we're going to see a speech crackdown on Americans, potentially even Americans extradited for trial elsewhere in the world. With Kamala Harris overseeing it all and Keith Ellison as our attorney general egging it on. We've never seen a situation like this. This is terrifying. What I'm about to play for you would be insane thing number one, but I don't know what it is. What? Yeah, it's actually this clip from Democrat. Y'all. Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal saying Americans will be shocked, astonished, and appalled when the truth comes out about the Trump assassination attempt. Folks, this guy is as 1984 style thuggy thug wannabe as any other Democrat has ever been. Something like this wouldn't upset this guy if it wasn't totally embarrassing. What is it? Could this reset the presidential election? Folks, ultimately, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are responsible for the Secret Service. They're responsible for Trump's protection. What the hell happened that would make Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal say this today?
I think the American people are going to be shocked, astonished, and appalled by what we will report to them about the failures by the Secret Service in this assassination attempt on the former president. But I think they also ought to be appalled and astonished by the failure of the Department of Homeland Security to be more forthcoming, to be as candid and frank as it should be to them in terms of providing information. And we are going to absolutely insist on the truth in the whole truth, in documents and testimony, as members of the United States Senate, but also as citizens.
What did you learn new today when you said they're going to be appalled? What
specifically? I'm not going to go into what we have learned in specifics. I'm giving you my reaction, and we will have a report very, very soon that I think will absolutely shock the American people, or should, about the lapses and lags in the protection that was afforded that day, and the breakdown in communication, failure in responsibility.
Is that report coming today or tomorrow?
I'm sorry?
Is that report coming out tonight or tomorrow?
No.
Fox News is reporting its release is imminent, but I don't have it right now at the recording of this podcast. I can't wait to get my hands on it. I wonder if it'll contain anything about the fact that the FBI provided the visa for the Iranian assassin, a person on the terror watch list, to come here, that they met with him at the airport and then turned him loose and then didn't pick him up even when he overstayed his visa. Not until right before the Butler rally, when he attempted to flee the country. John Solomon reported that, and nobody's ever followed up on it, even to deny it's true. I wonder if that will be in the report. It directly implicates the FBI in the assassination. But we'll see. Anyway, on to insane thing number one. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden might be launching World War III this weekend. That is, if they even know what's going on in their administration, which is doubtful. According to two sources now, a terrifying thing is going to go down this weekend. Our idiot, brain dead Secretary of State Tony Blinken, who's not fit to run a McDonald's franchise, but is somehow the Secretary of State, is supposed, according to Politico and to Axios, to journey to Kyiv, Ukraine this weekend to announce jointly with British officials that they are giving long-range missiles to the Ukrainians to launch deep inside of Russia, a thing the Biden administration swore it would never do at the beginning of this conflict. Well, Vladimir Putin has responded to this, and he said he will consider himself to be basically at war, not with NATO, but with the United States of America and Britain, if this happens. Here's why. Because not only does Ukraine not have these missiles, we have to give them to them, they don't have anything like the systems needed to deliver them. They don't have the satellites necessary to operate them. They don't have the launch codes, and they don't have the targeting equipment. In other words, having a Ukrainian finger mash the button here to launch the missile into Russia is immaterial to Putin. That's what he's saying. And he's saying he will retaliate. And he will retaliate against the U.S. and Britain, not against Ukraine. You'd have to be flipping insane to go forward with this announcement this weekend, knowing that Putin has warned that. You'd have to be plumb nuts. But Blinken, maybe. Folks, if you understand anything about how NATO is chartered, and I assume you do, it is a defensive agreement. So like if Russia was to attack, say, Poland, then we would be required by the terms of the agreement to defend them, right? Again, Ukraine is not a member of NATO. And in the last week, there's been mumblings from the Biden administration and some of the neocons in the swamp. Well, you know, Putin might, he might attack Poland. Well, might attack is not a thing. NATO is never supposed to launch a war, never supposed to start a war. It is purely a defensive organization. This would be outrageous. Hopefully, they just floated it as a trial balloon to see what the reaction would be, to see if the American people, who are so jaded about Ukraine, they mostly tune out news of Ukraine, would even notice they're attempting to start World War III, would even notice if they went forward with the launching of the long-range missiles. Pray that's the case and Blinken doesn't go through with this, and that the Ukrainians and our Pentagon, who'd have to be directly involved, don't go through with pummeling Russia with long-range missiles. It could literally lead to World War III. Because when Putin says he will retaliate with an attack on American or British soil, I believe him.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.